Hello and welcome to the Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today, from the United States, we hear from Dr. Ann Garrido, an associate professor of homiletics at Aquinas Institute of Theology. Ann lives in Miami, and her preaching is entitled, Unwaitin' When One Just Can't Wait.
Blessed are all who wait for the Lord. Praise the Lord, for he is good. Sing praise to our God, for he's gracious. It is fitting to praise him. The Lord rebuilds Jerusalem. The dispersed of Israel he gathers. Blessed are all who wait for the Lord. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He tells the number of the stars. He calls each by name. Blessed are all who wait for the Lord. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. To his wisdom there is no limit. The Lord sustains the lowly. The wicked he cast to the ground. Blessed are all who wait for the Lord. Blessed are all who wait for the Lord. I'm not at all sure what made me think that amidst the richness of all the readings the lectionary gives us today, that we should focus on the responsorial psalm. And not even the whole Psalm 147, but just the refrain, which it turns out is not from the book of Psalms at all, but from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 30, verse 18. Maybe it's because we're now in the season of Advent, so often described as a season of waiting. Or maybe it's because we're now at the end of 2020, when a global refrain has echoed forth, we can't wait. We can't wait for a vaccine to be widely distributed and to gather with family members again. We can't wait for help from the government to pay our rent. We can't wait for racial justice any longer. We can't wait to get our kids back into school lest we go insane. We can't wait to visit loved ones in nursing homes again. We can't wait for the U.S. election to be resolved once and for all. We can't wait. Until we find out, and God, I admit this is depressing, that sometimes we don't have a whole lot of other options, not quick ones. We can do more research, we can run more tests, we can wait for things to grow in petri dishes, we can host more dialogues, we can mediate disputes and try to bring people to the table to talk with one another, we can write more letters to our government representatives, we can organize and march, but all of these involve the reality of time. The only quick alternatives that we've got to get out of these scenarios are violence or death. I've seen both of those up close in my lifetime. And if you want to have a longer conversation as to why I think we should avoid those routes, I'm happy to do so. But I'm going to guess most of you listening to a Dominican website would already agree. So I won't spend any more time on that point right now and just admit that even though there are very, very serious things going on that we shouldn't have to wait for because they are just so important, we do. We have no other real choice, even when it doesn't feel like waiting is a choice. We are, of course, not the first people in history to have run up against this extremely harsh reality. The whole book of Isaiah hovers around Israel's experience of the exile, the experience of deep corruption and division among the people of God that led to the creation of two separate kingdoms, both of which ended up falling to outside conquerors and the destruction of the Jewish temple. An entire generation was forced to live on a land not their own, with little choice about it, until finally the Persian Emperor Cyrus wreaked havoc on Babylon and allowed the people to return and rebuild. No surprise, then, that it's in the book of Isaiah that the phrase, wait for the Lord, first surfaces over and over again, and then finds a frequent home in the book of Psalms, written down just after this period of exile, recording the prayers that had gotten the exilees through this difficult time. Hebrew has at least five words, and maybe there's more, but at least five, that in English get translated into the word wait in these two books. One of them is sabar, similar to the English for to wait on, like a waiter in a restaurant might. Two of them, Dumia and Damon, are more passive, conveying a sense of waiting silently, sitting still. The terms that most frequently appear in Isaiah and Psalms, though, are kava and haka, which convey eager waiting, hoping, longing for. In the passage we're looking at today, the word is haka. The closest I can tell, it means something like waiting when one just can't wait. And in this case, as in so many other places, it's attached to for the Lord. I've often wondered what exactly that means. Why wait for the Lord? Does it mean that we're not supposed to take actions ourselves, that we're supposed to sit patiently until the day God decides to intervene in the world and fix things, trusting everything will work out in God's time? It's true that God has a time scale different than our own, but a little poking around in Strong's lexicon indicates that's not really what haka means. In the Bible, the word haka is most often paired not with patience, but with strength. Waiting on the Lord is about continuing to lean into a struggle when you've reached the point it no longer seems possible to do so. Tapping into a strength that's not your own. It's the next step of a runner in mile 20 of the marathon. It's the next breath of the pregnant woman in the 24th hour of labor. It's the next night shift of the nurse stepping into their PPE. It's the next pot you scrub because, sweet Jesus, they just keep eating. The next letter you write because justice has not yet been realized. It's God who holds us in the intolerable space of waiting when we just can't wait. It's God who steps, who breathes, who cares, who scrubs, who puts pen to paper through your hand. And when the psalmist in today's psalm talks about God rebuilding Jerusalem or healing the brokenhearted or binding up wounds or lifting up the lowly, it's not as if God has his own set of hammers and bandages. No, God does those things through human hands, exercises divine strength through ordinary human bodies. And so this Advent, this season of waiting at a time in history when we just can't wait, let us once again offer our bodies, like Mary, as the space in which God does what is beyond our own strength to do. Because blessed are all who wait.